I only did okay. the first one for the first one.
Did you get stopped and then turned back?
Yeah.
Okay. That's right.
Okay. All right. Our next speaker is Nick L. from Tulsa.
Give me a second to invite my higher power in. My name's Nick, I'm an addict.
Hey, Nick.
Man, my heart just started pounding. Yeah, I was just thinking, I had no idea what I was gonna talk about, and right there at the very end, when she kept talking about, look at the miracle. It's really crazy how Narcotics Anonymous has given me this thing to where like one single word can invoke so much emotion. What a gift. Anyways, as she said, she was talking about the miracle, and it reminded me of how badly my entire life, all I ever wanted was for people to listen to me. And I knew that I was about to get up here, and probably, maybe, some of you will listen for a little while. I mean, I don't know. Because I spent most of my life knowing that, like, I really wanted to talk. I always wanted to talk. I was in class, I wanted to talk. I'd get kicked out. I was in my group of friends, and I wanted to talk, and nobody listened. They cut me off. I was always the person that got spoke over. And there was just something in me that I wanted to talk so bad. But I lied all the time, you know? Like, no wonder nobody wanted to listen. I was always just making shit up. And I'm going to try not to cuss a whole bunch this time, because Selma points it out to me every single time. And I really value Selma's opinion more than a lot of people, man. She really lights my spirit up. I was very, very thankful to see that she was speaking before me. So yeah, I grew up with a pretty good family, but I didn't treat it as if I did. You know, I was never home. I completely had everybody in my family worrying about me from a very early age. And I don't know. I stayed gone all the time. I went to ninth grade 3 times for very short periods each time. Last time I got kicked out of school for. Every time I got kicked out of school, it was something that I was doing outside of school, not at school. But the last time I got caught with some guns, me and my friends, I don't really know where to go with this, but me and my friends, we robbed a crazy drug dealer, and the drug dealer was trying to find us, so we decided we were going to get some guns and we were going to go kill him. And these are like, this is like real thought. I don't know how serious he was, but I knew that like we were walking to this guy's house and my intention was to kick in his door and kill him. And I'm 15 years old. Luckily, somebody else knew what we were about to do and told on us. And I got arrested in the street right in front of my parents' house. And anyways, like, yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to get through all the beginning stuff, you know, like I don't really like talking about any of the old stuff. It's not comfortable. When I got here, all I wanted to talk about was how badass I thought I was, you know, and like I thought that people were going to respect me if I told them how much drugs I sold or like how crazy the people were I ran with and none of that shit's cool, man. But thankfully, like I got here and people loved me where I was and let me be who I was without telling me that I was fucking stupid. Because I was. And what's crazy is because when I see people come in that talk the way that I was talking, I'm like, God dang, that motherfucker sounds stupid. And anyways, so yeah, I had a good family, you know, I had no reason to act the way that I was, but I had early on decided that I just wanted to be the biggest drug dealer there ever was. I watched gangster movies, I listened to gangster rap, and I was completely influenced very, very easily into where this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I want to sell drugs in abundance, and everybody's going to know my name. Like, people will listen to me then. If I just am the guy with all the drugs, then people are going to listen to me. And that's what I did, man. And I just fast forward, and man, I became everything that I ever wanted to be. I don't like talking about it much because I feel like, I don't know, it just isn't comfortable. But I never knew anybody that had more drugs or sold more drugs other than in the movies. Like, it got to everything that I wanted. But it was nothing like it seemed in the movies, you know. I spent every night in a different hotel with the guns, staring out the window, paranoid someone was going to kill me or rob me or the FBI was watching. And anyways, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why, man. It just really sucks talking about active addiction. So, fast forward, I went to prison. I went to prison for, I got arrested for trafficking. I got two distribution charges, and I got a trafficking charge. My bondsman on the first charge was a Narcotics Anonymous member, and she was like, hey, I go to these meetings. They can change your life. They changed mine. But I was like, I don't use drugs. I just got caught with them. I don't use drugs. And the same thing. And she was like, okay, well, when you call me next time, I'll tell you the same thing. And I was like, well, I'm not going to call you again. I don't use drugs. Then I caught another case, same story. Then I caught my trafficking case, and she's like, I'm sorry, you're a flight risk now. I'd be dumb to bond you out. And she let me sit in there for 17 days and showed up with my mom to visit me and a contract saying, if you put this ankle monitor on and you're only allowed to go to Narcotics Anonymous meetings, I'll get you out. I couldn't go to Walmart. I couldn't go to the gas station. I couldn't go anywhere. I could only go to NA meetings. I was already going to prison. So this was just an opportunity to be out for a little while, waiting to go. And I had no idea, like, I was looking at a lot of time. I had no idea how much, but luckily I came to NA, you know, and I was just faking it. I didn't want to stay clean. I was just trying to figure it out, get back out there. I had no intentions on staying clean. I had this fixed idea that I was actually having fun. It's so crazy, the confusion and contradiction of our lives, man. Like, convinced that was the life and that this was going to suck. I was never going to have fun again. And anyways, I hung around long, and I'll never forget, man. I was sitting, when we used to have speaker meetings, it seemed like they were always eating meetings. There used to always be food, and there was this meeting at TU, over by TU, that had really good food all of the time. And when I first got clean, I was eating chicken fried bacon. I don't know how long I'd been clean, but that's the first memory I actually have in a meeting. I was eating chicken fried bacon, and I didn't want to be there, but the food was good. And I heard a girl crying while speaking, saying, I'm so fucking tired of going to jail for dope. And I was like, damn, me too. You know, anyway, and that was the thing. That was the first thing that I heard that made me perk my ears up and start listening in the meetings. Anyways, everybody's telling me, you know, you're not going to go to prison, you know, you're in recovery, and it's all good, you're whatever. Luckily, this whole time, I'm still under a federal investigation. As far as I know, to my knowledge, I'm just on a state case, and I'm going to state prison. But I was under a federal investigation who was watching me go to meetings and watching me go to the recovery, move into a recovery house on my own, watching me go do outreach out of state and out of the city, all doing all the things. So by the time I showed up to court, and at 9 months clean, I don't know how long I had clean, eight or 9 months clean, I went to get sentenced, and the judge comes in and he says, Nick, stand up. You're under state's dismissing all charges. You're under a federal indictment. And the U.S. Marshals came in and handcuffed me and took me next door. And you know, I'm just I'm like, well, that's cool because the Fed's stipulations for drug trafficking is a lot stiffer than what I'm facing. So, anyways, luckily that I'd been under a federal investigation and they'd been watching me change my life, and I was a part of an indictment that had enough charges on it to where the judge eventually decided to give me the lowest charge on the indictment because he said he had never seen anybody actively. They'd never been investigating anybody and actively watched them change their life without being in trouble, you know. I still went to prison. But he gave me 2 years. And in that moment, I was scared to death. Because when he told me, because I was okay with going for 20 years. I was okay with going for life. I had no idea. I had no idea how long I was going for, but I knew I deserved it, and I knew I had found a new way to live, and I was okay with just going in there and telling people that, like, you don't have to use drugs anymore. Like, I didn't know how that was gonna go, you know, I'd found this new way of life, and I wanted everybody to know, man, you don't have to do this anymore. And I figured my new purpose was gonna be to do it in prison, and I thought I was gonna do it for the rest of my life in there. And so when they told me 2 years, I was like, fuck, man, I just got away with it. And if I got away with it, I'm gonna do it again. Anyways, just like anything else in my recovery, man, fears are just fears. You know, we have a choice. Luckily, I stayed clean because I went through a few sponsors before prison, and I didn't do anything. You know, I just went to meetings to talk to girls and hang out, you know. Anyways, went to prison, started a meeting in prison. It was pretty cool. What was really cool, but it was also uncomfortable at the same time, is that I got a lot of people in my life that I used to consider like my day ones or like my road dogs or my best friends and all this stupid shit. And every day at mail call, you know, there's 100 guys standing around waiting to find out if they got a letter. And I was the only one that got letters every day, but it was from people that had only known me for 10 months. I got a letter every day. I was in El Reno, not very far from here, so people were visiting me every week. Like, nobody in there is getting visits hardly. Nobody's getting letters, you know. No, and it just blew my mind. Like, if I didn't have evidence of how powerful this program was and how people actually care, because if it wasn't enough to show up to meetings and people would take me out to eat when I didn't have anything, but people were writing me letters when I was absent. Nobody sees me. And people showed that they cared, man, and that fucking meant a lot. Anyways, and I have more fears while I'm in there, you know. It's like when I get out, man, I just knew. I was so thankful that I went to prison without a girlfriend, because I just knew that if I had a girlfriend, then it would, whatever. I had all these fears, man. And anyways, when I started that meeting in prison, and there was no books. I had to have one sent in. Or someone sent it to me, and then on my last day, we had a meeting on the last day when I left, and there were 17 books in the jail. So that was cool. But anyway, yeah, I don't know. I got out, and I still had no idea really what working the program was like, you know. And I remember sitting in a meeting, and man, I feel like I'm fumbling through this. I'm sitting in a meeting. It's packed. You know, I had this thing. I was so scared to talk to women when I got out. Like, I couldn't look at them. Like, I would, like, scan the room, and when I'd see that there was a woman, like, I would take my heads up. Because I knew that a woman was going to be the reason that I got high again. Because if you hurt me, my view of showing you, like, I'll show you, I'll be the fucking biggest dope man in the world again. Like, and that was really how I thought. It sounds crazy, but that was really how I thought, and I was so scared to get in. And it's weird that I say that, because at the same time I was like slowly just smashing stuff out of, like, I was slowly about to screw my way out of the rooms, you know. I don't know when the, like, what the time frame is on that, but I remember hearing who I ended up asking my sponsor. I remember I was in a very packed meeting. There was like it seemed like 100 people in there, and I couldn't breathe. And I heard him sharing just something. I can't remember.
Hoeing.
Something about hoeing. Yeah, he was talking about hoe shit. You know, if you don't want hoe ass shit to keep happening, then you got to stop doing hoe ass shit. And he was talking about hoeing himself out of the rooms. And anyways, it was the first time I'd ever heard anybody talk about something like that. Maybe people were talking about stuff like that, but I didn't know. I didn't know that that was a thing. I didn't know until that moment that I could be helped with anything that I suffer from. It's not just the drugs anymore. I haven't thought about using drugs in a long time. I didn't know if I was going to say anything about this. This is the one thing that I took a screenshot of. It says, no matter where we are in our journey, we believe that it can get better and that we can get better. We practice living a principled life and we find a new way to live. I don't know, man. That's just, no matter where we are in our journey. Like, I've struggled from a lot of things, man, since I got clean. Like, and most of them revolve around women or money. My life is beyond anything that I could ever imagine. You know, I'm really fucking struggling on where I want to go here, because I've really gone through like a lot of struggles here lately. And it reminds me, you know, the book talks about money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose, man. And I had a sponsor who had a business, I had a lot of friends who had a business, so I want to start a business. And I feel like since I was a drug dealer that I could be a businessman, you know. And the problem is I still spend money like I'm selling drugs instead of trying to manage a business. So, and I'm scared of relationships. So I've been, that's probably one thing that I have more experience with than anything in Narcotics Anonymous, is like tell you what not to do in a relationship if you don't want to lose it. Because I've fucking been in a lot of relationships here, you know? And I'm so scared to get in a new one that once I got the money together, it's like, well, I'll just go to the fucking massage parlor. And I was leery if I was going to talk about that, man, because that's really where I fucking struggle the most. And I haven't done it in a little while. But when I do it, I'll go every fucking day. I'll make a few $1,000 and fucking spend it all in a week. And it's a problem. You know? I feel like I gotta fucking clean it up and be like, I don't do it all the time, but I think about it all the time. It's worse than the casino. I don't know if you guys ever noticed that when you're driving down the street, they have a fucking flag in the air fucking whipping around that says massage. All over town. And most people probably don't notice it. But it's like the dope man standing out there. I don't have to take the time to get to know. I spent most of my life concerned with, like, how am I going to get the woman? Like, if I had this kind of job, would I be able to get a woman? If I did this, if I say this, or, like, everything was revolved around, like, how can I get a woman? So, like, now that I know that I can get a woman without even putting any effort into it, just go in there, and I tell myself every time that, like, I'm going to go in there. It's going to be different this time. I'm spiritually fit. I'm okay. It's fucking okay. I'll talk to my sponsor later if I need to. You know, the book talks about, like, maybe we talk to our sponsor. We can no longer willingly go against God's will, thinking that we'll just talk to our sponsor later, write about it, and everything will be okay. It says something like that. But I convince myself every time that I can do it. And I fucking leave feeling worse than if I did drugs every time. Every time. It's crazy. So then I'll be like, nah, I'm not going to do that shit no more. I'll be good for a few days and I don't need to talk about it. And then next thing you know, I'm on a fucking dating site, man. And I'm swiping right on things I don't even want to swipe right on. Someone fucking show me some love. Someone tell me I'm handsome. Someone tell me something. Because I'm lacking somewhere. Because this is not all the time. Like, for the most part of my recovery, I am fucking spiritually lifted. I feel good. I'm on top of things. But for some reason, when I start lacking in some of those five suggestions, I am fucking, I'm acting out somewhere else. And it's just crazy, man. The disease of addiction manifests itself in ways that, I don't know what it says. It says
antisocial.
I don't want to tell nobody when it's manifesting itself in another way. Like, maybe if we've already talked about it, then I can talk about it. But if it's something new, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah, I don't know, man. I was really nervous about sharing tonight because I know I have my daughter full time. And I'm like, I don't want her to come and hear me talk about this. She's heard most of my story. She's heard almost everything, you know. It's embarrassing to talk about. I'm coming up on 9 years clean. It's embarrassing to talk about. I hear people all the time saying, like, I feel like I should be farther. I feel like I shouldn't be acting out, but or whatever. But that's what's beautiful about the thing I read. It's like, no matter where we are in our journey, I can get better. I know that I can. That's what the second step tells me. Came to believe. I've came to believe. I've stuck around here long enough to know that everything that I've ever suffered from, if I fucking asked for help and listened, because that's the third step, follow direction. If I asked for help, I came to believe I could be restored to sanity. If I follow it up by following some direction, I can get better. Every time. It might take a little bit, but I can get better. I know that I can. That's a gift. I spent the majority of my life thinking that if this is the way it is, this is just the way it is, and it's going to suck like this forever. And if it got really good, then that's probably as good as it's going to get. And when it starts to suck, the gifts are over, and this is just how it is, you know. And I know that that's not true. If I want my life to get better, I got to put in some more work. And there's work to put in. There always is. It's not like the work just goes away. It's there. I've been through a lot of painful things in recovery, man. And most of them are self-inflicted. Most of all, we harmed ourselves.
Yeah.
Man. Fuck, man. I don't want to talk about shit, man. I went through another breakup recently. People that know me are probably like, who was that? Which one was that? And that sucks, you know, but I don't know why I'm going to talk about it, but as soon as I got into this breakup, most of them I've been pretty proud of myself, because I'll go through a breakup and I'll be really fucking sad and like defeated, walking around like a wounded dog, I don't want to talk to nobody, man. I'm not seeking outside attention. I'm just hurt. And this time I got on Tinder immediately. And there was no, like, I'm not beating around the bush. I'm just going to get right to the point. Like, hey, I'm not trying to have a conversation. I'm trying to hide my feelings and have fun tonight. And I'm convinced that it, like, and messages, bing, bing, bing. People are okay with that. And I don't know, like, this thing inside of me tells me that I'm okay with that. And until I'm done, and I fucking hate myself, and I want to kill myself. Like, I there's been several times in the last year where I've gotten to a point of wanting to kill myself. You know, that's crazy. And that's where it gets difficult to admit sometimes. It's like, how am I going to get up here and share a message to people that, like, maybe look at me as if I have something to talk about? Like, how am I going to, like, reflect that Narcotics Anonymous is a program that can help me if I almost got 9 years and sometimes I think about killing myself? But it's always directly a result of me acting outside of my morals and values. Like, I built these things up, but for some reason I convince myself sometimes that I can use just a little bit. And when I use just a little bit, I want to kill myself now, because I don't want to use drugs. When I act out of my character, I'd rather kill myself than to go back to drugs. I don't want everybody worried, thinking that's where I'm at now, you know, because I'm not. I'm in a pretty good spot, but I believe in telling the truth.
Yeah.
And sometimes I might go a little too far with telling the truth, but I am where I am today because somebody was vulnerable enough to tell the truth about things that I would have rather died than to admit to people. Mm. When I heard people tell the things that were in my mind that I thought nobody would ever admit to anybody, admit those in front of a group full of people, I thought, man, maybe this thing can work for me. Yeah. I still didn't think I would ever tell anybody the things. there's not a lot of things. But, yeah, I don't know how long I've been sharing, but I'm truly grateful for this. Well, thanks for letting me speak.
Give it up for Nick, y'all.